This is The Den Show.
Welcome to The Den Show. I'm Chris Kay, and this is the brand new audio martial arts magazine with news, events, instructor profiles, interviews, discussions, and tons more. Coming up on this episode, 10th Dan ninjutsu instructor and author Paul Richardson on the history of the Koto Ryu.
It comes into being in about 1580s, 1590s time. The person that was accredited as being the first head of the school is a guy called Sakagami Taro.
Preparations continue for the martial arts show.
Pretty much meetings, putting things together. I mean, it's down to everything, to, you know, where the stands are going to be built.
Goju-Ryu expert and author of The Way of Kata, Chris Wilder, on the use of technology to assist your martial arts training.
Now, you can just click on a computer screen and you can see something. There's a good and a bad to that.
And the components of physical fitness.
This is The Den Show with Chris Kay. The Den Show News.
So before we catch up with Paul Richardson and hear from Chris Wilder, let's check out some of the news making the headlines. The British Judo Association are reporting that a 19-strong British squad are going to compete at the 2011 European Championships. The event to be staged this April in Turkey represents the first time the continent's premier judo competition has permitted two athletes per weight category, having been introduced at the World Championships in September 2010. Head coach Patrick says, "We're now heading to a camp in France where we're going to be joined by judoka from Belgium and Switzerland. And as with the World Championships in September last year, countries are able to enter two competitors per weight category at the European Championships, which I think makes the event stronger." Meanwhile, the veteran Hong Kong film producer Raymond Chow has been honoured at the 5th Asian Film Awards. Chow, who introduced the world to Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, was given a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work in Hong Kong cinema. The 83-year-old filmmaker began his career at Shaw Brothers Studios before leaving to found Golden Harvest in 1970. The Breakaway Company jump-started Lee's career with hits like Fist of Fury and Enter the Dragon. In 1979, it signed Chan, casting him in his first English-language production, including the star-studded 1981 action comedy The Cannonball Run. Turning now to taekwondo news, and the British team are celebrating after bringing home gold at the WTF German Open. Martin Stamper defeated Turkey's double European champion 17-11 in the 68-kilogram final. The Liverpool athlete has won his last 13 fights and looks in pole position for a place on the plane to the World Championships in South Korea in May. Meanwhile, Jade Jones continued her fine form with silver in Hamburg. And finally, for now, last-minute preparations are being made before the Martial Arts Show Live in Birmingham this May. Kwok Lin Wan, the organiser of the event, says it's a huge undertaking.
I started work on this show at the end of May last year. So pretty much had about 2 weeks off from the other show, and then pretty much meetings, putting things together. I mean, it's down to everything, to, you know, to, you know, where the stands are going to be built, what kind of attractions we want to see, even down to catering. I mean, we've got a meeting on Friday with the catering guys, because obviously we want that oriental feel rather than just be burger and chips. We're going to try and introduce some sushi, some noodles. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, so there's a huge build-up, you know, for the show, and there's a lot of things you have to think about when it comes down to licensing or insurances. So, it's pretty much 24/7 for the past year.
And you can check out more news online at thedenshow.com.
This is The Den Show.
Still to come, Goju-Ryu expert and author of The Way of Kata, Chris Wilder, on the use of technology to assist you in your martial arts training.
I got one of my students in the dojo. I said, go look up the kata on the web. Go take a look at it there and then come back and tell me what you think.
Firstly, I just need to quickly mention that The Den Show is now on Facebook and Twitter. There is a dedicated page on each, so you can follow The Den Show on Twitter or join the group on Facebook. And you can now subscribe via iTunes as well. So if you do a little search for The Den Show under podcasts, and it'll come up.
Feature.
Right, let's welcome on to The Den Show Paul Richardson. Hi, Paul.
Hi there, Chris.
Thank you for speaking to me today. So we're just going to cover one of the scores of the Bujinkan system and kind of find out a little bit more about it. So first of all, just explain what the Kotoru actually means.
The Kotoru name can be broken down into its, the two parts of Koto, Ko relating to the tiger, and To is to knock down. So some of the people like to refer to it as like to knock a tiger down, or how you would knock a tiger down.
What is the school best known for?
The martial art associated with it is called Koppojutsu. It's one of the old names for what we now today call Jujutsu. So in the past, in the old days, Jujutsu wasn't even a Japanese word as such in common use. It was a rare word. So all the different arts had different names. So for instance, you know, you've got the Koppojutsu, Koshijutsu, Yawara, Daken, Taijutsu, etc. So today, what is a Jujutsu in the old days was separate names. So Kotoryu's specifically is Koppojutsu, which is something that it specializes in striking towards weak points, the skeletal structure, joints, bones, things like that.
How would you describe the techniques of this school?
Techniques tend to be quite short and sweet. There's no sort of long-winded techniques like you'll see some of the other jiu-jitsu schools where, I mean, they even have one technique where the guy punches, you block, and you kick. That's it. There's nothing else. There are other techniques which are a little bit more long-winded, where the person, say, comes in for a throw, you stop the throw, he backs away, and you follow and finish with a strike. But it's not just striking as well. There's even throws as well, so wristlocks. So it's not just a striking art. There's a combination of strikes and throws, or strikes and locks in most of the techniques.
And what about comparing it to the other schools in the system? How does it differ, or how is it similar to the other schools?
If you're going to compare, what you need to do is look at its sister school, the Gyokoryu, because they're sort of quite opposites to each other. So for instance, the Gyokoryu tends to be more circular in its movement. So for instance, when you do a wrist lock on somebody, you may move in a circular movement to take the person down, where Kotoryu will move laterally, more sort of straight lined. The Gyokoryu tends to also be the technique that uses more striking to specific points in a different way to Kotoryu. Kotoryu would maybe use more of like a fist, a bit more sort of like a man would be doing it, where Kotoryu is, Gyokoryu, I mean, is more at the feminine side. One of the things you can look at is actually in the names. For instance, Japanese men's names would tend to start, if they have Ko, would actually have Ko at the beginning, as in Kotoryu. And whereas a woman's name, if she has Ko, has it at the end, as in Gyoko. And when you look at the specifics of these two schools, where the Kotoryu actually comes from Gyokoryu, historically, you'll see that the Gyokoryu is a little bit more, not so physical as such, so it's more sort of controlled movement, where the Kotoryu is like some people say, a man goes in there and he punches, he strikes, and he knocks the person down. So it's a little bit more sharper and direct is the Kotoryu. If you look at the other schools and the Bujinkan, they're all specific in their own way, and it's a long-winded thing to sort of start detailing each school's specifics. But the Koto and the Gyokoryu are the two that are best suited. They say you can't master one unless you've mastered the other. And when you've studied Gyokoryu and the Kotoryu, and you've mastered both, then you've studied all the spectrums of the art, which is, you know, lateral movements, circular movements, long techniques, short techniques, direct techniques, etc., etc.
Now, what about the origins of this school? Where did it come from? How was it created and then organised into a system?
The first thing is, it comes from the school Gyokoryu, which you just mentioned. Gyokoryu, historically, supposed to have been around, or the basis of what became Gyokoryu from maybe about 1050 or 1100. We're not 200% sure on that as such, because those sort of records don't exist in proper reference. So it exists within the school's history. But the Kotoryu basically claims that it comes into being in about the 1580s, 1590s time. The person that was accredited as being the first head of the school is a guy called Sakagami Taro. And he studied the Gyokoryu, and as such developed a sort of a different version of the way of studying. Maybe he saw something missing, you know, you're doing circular techniques, circular movements, this and that, but this and that's missing. So maybe he looked at a different area. But I was once shown a document, I was told it was a Gyokuryu Kopo, and told that the Kopo from the Kotori originates from this Gyokuryu Kopo. As to whether that's verifiable, I've not been able to do that myself, but I've actually seen the document. It then skips a generation, does the Kotori has a, well, it has the Kotori has one extra person in its lineage, and then drops back into the Gyokuryu lineage. Why that exists, we don't know. But technically, from that point on, it's the same grandmasters for Kotoryu as it is for Gyokuryu, right up to the present day. So they travel side by side, so technically brother and sister school.
Now, which famous historical ninja or samurai would have trained in this school in the past?
There's only one name that really comes to light as a main historical person, and that's Momochi Sandeyu, who's rumoured and sort of also recorded in history as a famous ninja from the Iga province. If you read any of the historical documents, you tend to find Momochi Sandeyu's name appear. There are various things in existence that, you know, are credited with him. His family still live, his descendants still live in the family house in Iga today, and they still have various items they claim come from Momochi Sandeyu. But he is regarded as one of Japan's most famous ninjas.
Excellent, Paul. Thank you very much for that overview of the Kotoryu.
You're welcome.
This is The Den Show with Chris Kay.
So in this section of the podcast, I'm going to discuss the components of physical fitness. Now, total health and fitness is a state of mental, physical and social well-being. You're happy, you can make clear decisions, your body is in good condition, your heart works, you're free from sickness and disease, you've got control over your emotions and you've got strong social relationships. The concept of health was defined in 1946 by the World Health Organization. This state of total health and fitness can be broken down into several key areas: mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, medical fitness, nutrition, and physical fitness. Now, in this section, we're going to take a closer look at the physical fitness aspect of total health and how it relates to the martial arts. Now, fitness can be interpreted in many different ways. For one person, it might be the ability to carry shopping from the car up the stairs without getting out of breath. For another, it might be completing a marathon in under 3 hours. So it's different for everybody. The American College for Sports Medicine defines health-related physical fitness as an ability to perform daily activities with vigour and the demonstration of traits and capacities that are associated with a low risk of premature development of hypokinetic diseases. So things like high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, obesity, that sort of thing. That's the kind of hypokinetic diseases we're talking about. Physical fitness can be broken down into two practical definitions: functional fitness and sport-specific fitness. Now, functional fitness, or sometimes called health-related fitness, is the ability to carry out daily tasks with alertness, endurance, with a quick recovery time, and without exhaustion. Sport-specific fitness is the performance of physical tasks and sporting events with high proficiency and endurance. So in summary, fitness is your ability to meet the demands of the environment and have a little more in reserve for emergencies. There are six components of physical fitness: body composition, muscular strength, muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance, motor skills, and flexibility. Body composition refers to the amount of fat expressed as a percentage. So your body shape is genetically determined, but it can be modified by lifestyle. Cardiovascular endurance is the body's ability to take in, transport, and utilize oxygen. So the heart, the lungs, and the blood vessels delivering the oxygen to the muscles, and the muscles using the oxygen to generate work. Long duration rhythmical activities that use large muscle groups or whole body movements are typical activities which are dependent on cardiovascular endurance. So running, swimming, or if you're doing like continuous kata repetitions, this is all going to improve your cardiovascular endurance. Muscular strength is the ability of the muscles or a group of muscles to exert a force or resistance in a single contraction. So training for this consists of high intensity or high resistance, heavy resistance, that sort of thing. Muscular strength can be developed with, you know, body weight exercises to begin with, can progress onto free weights and resistance bands. Muscular endurance is the ability of the muscles or a group of muscles to contract repeatedly against a load without undue fatigue. The benefits of improving your muscular endurance include, you know, better joint integrity, improved posture, increased bone mass and lower blood pressure. Exercises like running, swimming or high reps of kicking and punching, this is going to improve your muscular endurance. Now, the next element is very important for the martial arts, and that's flexibility. This is a joint's capacity to move through its full range of motion. Structures affecting flexibility are ligaments, tendons, muscle fibers, and joints. And flexibility is specific to a particular joint or set of joints. So, you know, you might have great arm flexibility, you know, you might be able to circle it up by your ear, but then again, you might not be able to do full box splits, say. So it's specific to a particular joint. Now, good flexibility is required to deliver kicks and strikes and to assume certain stances. So it's very important. And stretching is recommended 5 to 7 times a week. And component number 6 is motor skills. So this is a skill-related aspect of physical fitness. It is the ability to make movements that are necessary to complete or master a prescribed action or task. And it refers to a number of interrelated factors. So agility, the ability to rapidly change direction at speed, you know, turning and delivering blows in multiple directions. Speed, the ability to move quickly from one point to another, you know, perhaps snapping out that jab. Balance, the ability to keep the body stable over a base of support, so not falling over when you're performing that kick. Coordination, the ability to perform smooth and accurate movements, so delivering a strike on target. Power, the amount of work done per unit of time, so work divided by time, force and speed. In other words, quickly striking with significant impact. And reaction time, the interval between a stimulus and the initiation of a response. So, you know, in certain Japanese arts, you've got go-no-sen, and this is the reaction time. So you've seen something happen, and you've got to respond to it and react and maybe do that counter punch, block and punch, or whatever you need to do. So to develop your motor fitness, the skills need to be broken down into a logical learning process to do that. So to summarize, your training should aim to improve all of the components of fitness for overall health, but to enhance your martial arts, the exercises and drills that you perform need to be specific. So target practice for coordination, bag work for power, or leg swings for high kicks, that sort of thing. And those are the components of physical fitness.
Feature.
Let's welcome on to the Den Show Chris Wilder, who is the author of The Way to Black Belt and The Way of Kata. He's also published articles in Traditional Karate magazine. He's been studying and practicing for over 30 years and holds black belts in 3 different martial arts. Chris currently instructs at the West Seattle Karate Academy and joins me on the Den Show. Thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Oh, Chris, a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much.
I want to move on to just talk about technology briefly to help with training, because obviously, you know, things have changed. We've got books, videos, DVDs, websites, blogs, ebooks, podcasts, obviously. I mean, what are your thoughts on each of these things? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you look at websites and the information they have, and you think, well, can the information that is on there be trusted? So how much should you be using this as a resource with your training?
Oh, that's a great question. When I was you know, coming up, I mean, this is in the mid 70s. You know, we would send off a money order, you know, through the post, and wait 6 to 8 weeks for a book that we had never seen, had no idea what was in. Yeah, all we'd seen was the cover, and, you know, wait for that to come in and then open it up as we, you know, got it out of the mail and you looked at it and you just, oh my goodness, this is fantastic, you know, look at this stuff. And you were buying sight unseen, you didn't know what it was, you know, you just, it's like, oh, I'm going to get that because I think it sounds like a good idea, and go through that horrible process. Now you can just click on a computer screen and you can see something. There's a good and a bad to that. And here is the thing that I think that is most significant. And this is not necessarily about whether, well, I'll just say it and see how you want to measure it. But in when I was a young man, you know, you bought a record album and you had to go get that. You had to go purchase it. You had to bring it home. You had to listen to it. You could only listen to it on your stereo. And if somebody wanted to hear that album, they had to come borrow it from you. But today, it's just, oh, I'll just email you that. I'll just download it. I don't want the whole album. I'll only get part of it. I just want that one song. Oh, I lost all of those songs. Oh, I'll just have to reboot. Or I'll just have to download. It's become very disposable. And so the value is not there. And I think that that's what's happened with the martial arts, is that the value is not there. Somebody looks at something and they say, oh, yeah, I've seen that. And my response is, seeing is not doing.
Hmm.
And you have to integrate these things into your very being, because when that switch of adrenaline goes off in a self-defense situation, man, you don't know what's going to happen. And I have been in several situations where I've done some really cool stuff, and I've walked away and went, wow, that was amazing that I pulled that off. And then there's other times where I just walk away hitting myself in the head going, stupid, 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 you've got hurt badly. Well, you don't know what those things are until you're in a truly a stress situation. So, you know, watching those things on YouTube or websites and things, it's all good. I got one of my students in the dojo, I said, go look up the kata on the web. Go take a look at it there and then come back and tell me what you think. That's training. That's helpful. That's part of the program, but it is not that in its entirety. And you need good, qualified instructors that have paid their dues and spent their time on the floor and have gone through the aches and the pains and the learning so that they can take you and they can point and you can look down their arm and out their finger and go, oh, that's the path. The rest of this stuff is folderol. That's the real thing. And that's why you have to be connected with a good school and a good instructor, because they're the ones that will help you suss out the truth, because, man, there's a lot of rabble out there. And I would guess, I'm going to just say 80% of what you see in martial arts on YouTube is utter trash. 20% of it is just phenomenal. It's like, good grief, I never thought such a thing existed. Look at that. But I'd say 80% of it is just trash. And if you don't know what you're looking at, you're just like a child, you know, in a pub. You don't know.
The key thing is, you know, if you're looking at things on the internet, you're looking at videos, you're looking at blogs and stuff, I guess it's to know who you should be looking at and who to take note of. Otherwise, you're just going to get bogged down in all the stuff that is rubbish.
Oh, there's no question. And in today's world, there's really two things going on. And that is that you have more choices than you've ever had in your life or anybody in the world has ever known, as far as we know, in time eternity. I mean, just the choices are just, you have so many choices, but you have less time. So you have to make very, very solid, reasonable choices where you're going to invest your time, and you have to invest that time wisely, because if you invest it poorly or in a falsehood, what will happen is it will come back and you will realize it to be such a thing, and then you'll be soured on the entire process. And as a martial artist and somebody who has benefited greatly across my life from martial arts, I would wish that all would share in this, and please don't get soured by it, but be respectful, be mindful, and really know what it is you'd like to be able to do, and then pursue that and find somebody who can aid you in that.
Brilliant. Chris, thank you very much for being on The Den Show today and chatting with me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is The Den Show.
So that wraps up another edition of The Den Show. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Chris Kay, and make sure you check out thedenshow.com regularly for loads of news, videos, articles, and for the future podcasts as well. Make sure you join the Facebook group and follow The Den Show on Twitter as well. And your feedback is always more than welcome. You can leave me your thoughts and comments on the podcast via the contact page at thedenshow.com.
This is The Den Show.